we are now joined via the miracle of telephone from St. Paul with by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. I'm not there in person, sadly, so I can't make double, triple sure that Rich is recording.
If you notice,
so Ryan, I hope you're on it.
My angle, unfortunately, I can't see his computer monitor, so it's just a wing and a prayer.
If you notice, there was a little pause when before you came on, and I was pushing all the record buttons. Mm-hmm. So we are indeed
way to go, Rich.
Thank you.
Running your own radio station.
I'm on the ball today, man.
Congrats.
Speaking of on the ball, the good news is the legislature has agreed to the basic framework of a budget deal. Isn't that right?
That is correct. So I learned this yesterday, about an hour before the press conference.
Yeah.
Myself, that the leadership of both chambers, as well as the governor, had come to a framework for funding the government, which, of course, so the friend that I stay with up here is a government employee, and just hearing her challenges with the return to work order, mm-hmm. with the cuts in the federal grants to states and state work, there's another thing that, you know, state workers are just on the struggle bus. I mean, like a lot of workers right now, mm-hmm. but for her to then be like, and maybe I'll get a pink slip in 10 days,
yeah.
and not know if I'll be laid off July 1st. So like we, you know, absolutely were working really hard to avoid that on top of everything else. So that is the good news with 4 days left until the constitutional end of session. Apparently it's 7 a.m. Tuesday morning.
Oh.
I hope we are not working all through the night Monday, but
Don't you guys have in the House at least have a midnight cutoff?
We do, but it has been waived before.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. I see. So, what can you tell us about the framework? Is there, first of all, let's start with from your perspective. Tell us about the good news from your perspective.
Sure. Well, I was going to start with the bad news.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know what? You do you, Representative Purcell. If you want to go there first, that's fine.
You know, you eat your vegetables before you get your dessert.
That's true.
I mean, I think the bad news, you know, that's on top of mind for me, for all of my Democratic colleagues, including governor's office, is that because the number one thing in the crosshairs for my colleagues across the aisle was continuing to scapegoat our newer Minnesotans, our immigrants, and folks without papers who are mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And their number one issue was trying to punish those people who have come here for a better life for their family. So some things that they didn't get, they did not repeal the North Star Promise for those families.
What is the North Star? I'm sorry. What is the North Star Promise?
Yes, that is the if you are under a certain income level that you qualify for free college okay. at the universities and state colleges in Minnesota.
That's cool.
So we held firm on that, but the thing that ended up in the crosshairs is access to Minnesota care, which I will say, you know, of my first 2 years, that was certainly one of the big accomplishments. Yeah. We're seeing also threats to these programs coming from the federal level. The Trump administration, if you can call it that, has also said they're going to refuse to pay the federal amount if state programs allow for undocumented people to be covered. That's not taking effect until September 30th, 2027. So we are, you know, we're trying to keep adults and children eligible for Minnesota care, because as my family has been on Minnesota care, when you are self-employed, when you're under a certain income level, it is an absolute lifeline. And the deal that was struck removes undocumented adults from being able to qualify for Minnesota Care at the end of 2025.
At the end of 2025. Okay.
Yes. So that is the real, that's the real, I mean, in my opinion, this is, you know, when we heard this bill in the health committee, it was hospitals, it was insurance companies, it was the Catholics, it was the immigrant groups who were all saying, this is terrible. They're saying, if you do this, this is going to cost people who do pay for insurance more money because there's more uncompensated care at the clinics. It's going to cost the hospitals and clinics more. It's going to cost, yeah, the rate payers more because the people who can't pay, the rest of us, you know, chip in for that. And the amount of money, even with the faster than anticipated sign up for this program, we know because when people have come to the emergency room as they're used to at hospitals and clinics, those frontline care workers are signing up these families to say, hey, do you know that you qualify now? Mm-hmm. And so about 21,000 Minnesotans have been able to sign up for the program, which is wonderful. We know that we have this need, and this really shows that need is present and it's right now. And the cruelty seems to be the point. This was the number one thing that Republicans wanted in, you know, they were willing to shut the government down completely unless they could throw these families off of being eligible for Minnesota Care. Now, the compromise that was struck is that we're able to keep children on at least until that September 30th, 2027 deadline. You know, there's a midterm election between now and then, too. And we know about how much money the feds would remove from us. And plus, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it's changing every day, the news that comes out of Washington.
Mm-hmm. It does cruelty
to, yeah, but the cruelty towards our newest Americans and undocumented folks in particular seems to be that's pretty unwavering coming from Trump, and that seems to be the case too for the Minnesota GOP.
It's I'm not exactly sure how to ask this without sounding biased, but what. You lay out a very good case for why, and like a very good economic case for why undocumented people should be able to access MennCare. What is the other side's argument? What is it about that they just want to get rid of it?
I mean, there's no factual basis. There's Dr. Elise Mann, who is a state senator. She used to be in the state house, but she happens to be an ER doctor right here at Northfield Hospital and Clinics. So she knows this firsthand. She mm-hmm. has seen how these folks, you know, feel forced to access the emergency room once the things are really bad for people's health. She has some really great explainer videos that I have reposted places about the total uncompensated care in the state for these folks is like $460 million that hospitals have paid and footed the bill for versus doing it upfront in a proactive way. Costs the state about $3 million. I think it's like 0.17 or 0.017% of the budget just in the health budget. I mean, there is absolutely no financial argument to be made. But as we're all feeling the stresses of things costing more and just uncertainty, the dominant narrative, who I have had supporters of mine, which I feel grateful that they've reached out to be like, I don't think it makes sense to, you know, cover people who are undocumented. And then I say, well, here are the facts. And you know, the general kind of feeling is that we're getting squeezed. And the problem is not our undocumented neighbors. The problem is corporations not paying taxes. This this GOP in Minnesota, also their other bright line was, you know, absolutely, we are not going to raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of spaces to raise taxes on, say, Meta and Amazon, who want to build these mega data centers, or, you know, the companies and industries of the most wealth. And they said, absolutely not. We are not going to tax those people to pay for the most vulnerable, even though it is a drop in the bucket. And again, like I said, it was so interesting in the health committee to be aligned with Unidos Minnesota, who is an advocacy group, really grassroots, as well as the Catholics, as well as the big corporate hospital, you know, kind of interest group, mm-hmm. and their lobbyists, as well as the insurance companies, as well as Faith in Minnesota or Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally the only people on the other side were the ones who are fear mongering and who are trying to distract us from distract and divide us from who the real villains are. So it was truly remarkable for me. And I guess that is the question. It's like, why do you want this? And to me, it's pure politics.
Yes, it is.
They think this is a winning issue to scapegoat our neighbors, our community members, who for the first time, and you know, now it looks like only for a year, have access to care to try to, you know, manage type 2 diabetes, to, you know, like try to get back to work, because if they have, you know, arthritis and they need a knee replacement, there are certain things that the hospitals will not do uncompensated care for, like surgeries. So that's really, not only is it just like a dignity and a quality of life issue, it's also like, well, if we want folks to be contributing members to our society, not just in an economic sense, which of course undocumented Minnesotans pay $122 million into our state coffers just last year. So all the narratives about, you know, they're takers, they're not givers, that's absolutely false. And it seems like it's purely politics. And I mean, people will die. And it is absolutely horrifying. And I was part of the showing up in support of my colleagues in the Posse Caucus, People of Color Indigenous Caucus, yesterday, to go outside the press conference where the governor and the leadership
mm-hmm.
was having the press conference, and you know, be chanting you know, One Minnesota, right, and you know, save our neighbors, and all of these things. And the governor did take a meeting with those of us who were outside the door there yesterday. And so, you know, we had a closed door meeting with the governor and with other DFL leadership who came to this deal with basically the terroristic threats that came from the House GOP. And you know, just hearing people's frustration and concern and righteous anger over this issue.
It's, it's a big deal. I mean, obviously, it's how much does the state save by removing these folks from MnCare? Do you know?
Like $3 million.
Okay,
and but again, it's like, but that's in our budget. What will actually happen is that then the individuals, when all of us who pay for health insurance, we will have higher premiums. We will have
right.
And like removing these people from getting the primary care that they need or preventative care. I mean, this, we're going to see this, like, more rural hospital closures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
hang on, because my follow up question to this is, what is the total amount of the Minnesota budget in next biennium?
I mean, I guess we'll see. I think it was like $26 billion last year.
And we're saving $3 million by putting these folks in harm's way, essentially.
I mean, don't quote me exactly on those numbers, but that's ballpark.
But okay, but that's those are the sort of the ratios we're talking about.
Yep.
And you had said that hospitals have had to shoulder over $460 million in these costs versus if the state had just spent that $3
million
to insure these people.
Yep, and it's called, like on their ledger, it's called uncompensated care. So it's uninsured people.
See, this is where, as one of my favorite phrases is, the math is not mathing.
The math is not mathing. And, you know, something like $3 million, I mean, I'm on a conference committee for the Environment Committee. Mm-hmm. And what I have said, I mean, our target, which we learned yesterday too, is a cut target of $6 million. We had planned in the House for a cut target of $10 million. Mm-hmm. And like, I am a staunch environmental advocate, but I'm like, take the money. It's just $3 million.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. take it. Take it, please. You know? And that absolutely, we would not be able to have a deal to fund the government had we maintained the care for these undocumented adults. Now, I will say, my friends who work at Health Finders, and you know, who work with this population mm-hmm. regularly, mm-hmm. You know, they're literally like, were begging me at the gala. They said, like, please just keep the children. Please just keep the children on. And we have seen this in, I guess, Colorado, where they only had coverage for a year. And so the they have been kind of preparing for this. Like, it's, you know, as we've seen Gavin Newsom do a 180 and really throw these folks under the bus. Like, it's not, unfortunately, this group of people, the most exposed, the most at-risk people, they continue to be scapegoated and this continues to happen around the country. And I'm just so, so, so sad and heartbroken that seems to be the case in Minnesota too. But I will say, you know, it's not over. There's a compromise in California where, you know, it's at least $100 premiums per month, even for folks that might not be affordable for. Mm. But, you know, we're still fighting like hell to try and take care of the people who need it the most. Mm.
Well, we appreciate your efforts so much.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I really want to keep this conversation going, but we've got like 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, let me tell you about the stuff that we protected.
Yeah, real quick.
Now that we have a budget target, hopefully we're trying to move quickly on the Environment Conference Committee. But kind of no news on that yet for mm-hmm. me. And then we protected paid family medical leave. We did not get a rollback or a delay happening in that. So people who, you know, are planning their families or, of course, emergencies happen. We also were able to protect unemployment insurance access for our hourly school workers and funding that for the next 2 years so that cost does not come out of our school districts, but we know that's the right thing to do for our paraprofessional school bus drivers and, you know, office staff. So, like, we protected, we couldn't protect all of our wins from 2023, but we are protecting, earned sick and safe time too.
Right.
So we, you know, protected a whole lot that will continue to help improve people's lives, and we'll continue to fight to protect our most vulnerable.
Something that the school district was especially concerned about was keeping the school funding tied to the rate of inflation, and that you guys protected that as well.
That
correct?
Stayed. Yep. Okay. We still got that on the docket. So,
right.
and happy to go more into detail as I learn myself. And
maybe next week after you adjourn, before if and when you have to go back, we could get you in one day to go through this a little more in depth too.
Would love that as ever.
Right.
So thank you guys for letting me call in, and I hope next time it's in person.